in the days to come. Oh, it's going to be great. I can't wait. Someday, it's going to be spectacular. You know, you've actually heard me start this sermon before. I love to think about someday when everything is going to be right. I mean, people are going to come to church someday. I'm glad you guys came today, but someday Chris McAtee is going to come to church on the same time that Donna Regsegger is going to come to church, and David Twombly is going to show up to the church the same time his brother Don comes to church, and Kathy Logsdon is going to be here that day. Someday everybody's going to come on the same day. I know, that's what Christmas and Easter are for, but someday it's going to be a random day in February, and people are going to come to church. It's going to be great, I'm telling you. I'm looking forward to that day, to someday, just like the prophets like to think and to dream about the days to come when the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of all the mountains, and they shall be raised up above the hills, and people shall stream to it, and many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Until then, I guess I'll just keep coming. And some days, I kind of get down. You guys witnessed that a couple weeks ago. I was like, why are we here? Does it even matter? Why? Some of you were kind of concerned about my state of. But I think what I was feeling was that sort of, gosh, does it even matter? And today, I have an answer to the question I was raising then a couple of weeks ago. I was like, why do we even still do this? Why do we still have church? Why do some 30, 40 of us show up on a Sunday morning? Well, we come, just like the vision there, we come up to the house of the Lord. That's one of my answers. That's the short, simple answer. We're here to raise ourselves, right? We're here to rise up from the pit that sometimes is the world we live in. Right? We're just here to step it up. We're not here to look down on the world or think we're better than them, but I think we're here because we know we can do better. We can be better. Right? We're here to embrace the better angels of our nature. Do you guys remember that quote? You know who said that? I have it here for you. I'm going to give it to you, and then maybe you can tell me who said this. The mystic chords of memory will swell when again touched, as surely they will be by the better angels of our nature. Anyone? Anyone? Jeopardy, this is for 800. Abraham Lincoln. Easy for me to say. I typed it into my computer and looked it up. But his first inaugural address. He actually starts off, he says, we are not enemies, but friends. We must not be enemies, though passion may have strained, it must not break our bonds of affection. Then he goes on to say, the mystic chords of memory will swell when again touched, as surely they will be by the better angels of our nature. I love it when we have presidents who speak like that. Ha! I don't know why I said that. I'm just saying. There is something to be said about the articulate dream and vision of our better nature. We will stream to the house of the Lord. Come, let us go up to the house of the Lord. Let's rise above the pit and the base and banal nature of the way things are. Let's just come here, maybe just 1 hour a week. Let's think that we can strive for better. Let's think that we can anticipate peace and imagine living together instead of dreaming up ways to kill one another and ourselves. I don't know. Is it worth it? Should we bother with that? Just a dreamer, unrealistic. Another quote I came across, I just really like this. The most unrealistic person in the world is the cynic, not the dreamer. Hope only makes sense when it doesn't make sense to be hopeful. I just like that. Hope only makes sense when it doesn't make sense to be hopeful. Maybe I just need to hear that today. As I'm dreaming about someday when everything's going to be perfect, when it feels like everything is falling apart, like there is no hope, maybe I need to be reminded it's for times like this that we have hope. And maybe it's because I've been opening the Bible and looking at the prophets. We've been looking at Jeremiah and Isaiah, and today we look at Micah. There's this short little poem here. It seems to be a very famous poem in Hebrew because it's both here and it's in Isaiah. It's in Isaiah 2, verse 4. These same exact verses, they will beat their swords into plowshares, and they will turn their pruning hooks into, or their spears into pruning hooks. So Isaiah and Micah both say that. And they said it at a time when the nation was preparing for war, because the superpowers, they were surrounded by superpowers. Israel's just this tiny little nation, and there's Assyria, and there's Egypt in the south, and there was Babylon somewhere off in the distance. And these huge superpowers were just coming at any time. And the prophets, like Isaiah and Jeremiah and Micah, used the political situation to make a theological point, to call people back to faithfulness. And they dared to be optimistic and hopeful. Right? They dared to be hopeful. So they imagine a day when people all over the world will stream to the mountain of God. And what do they do there? They will listen and they will learn to walk in God's ways. It was hopeful there for a minute, and now it sounds like work. You mean we have to pay attention? We have to walk in the ways of the Lord? See, hope is never just a thing that sort of floats out there, even though the movie says hope floats. I diverse. Hope is always grounded in the practical and the things that we do here and now today. And it's a bold act of faith to be hopeful and to walk as we are called to walk in the ways of God. It's what some might call prophetic hope. So we get prophetic hope here in Micah 4, verse 1 and following, you know, someday in the days to come. Just for fun, sometimes I glance around, you know, where we're spending time in the scripture on this day. But the verse right before this, Micah says something quite different. He says, therefore, because of you, and he is pointing fingers. He's saying, it's your fault, and because of you, Zion shall be plowed as a field, and Jerusalem shall become a heap of ruins, and the mountain of the house a wooded height. That's one verse earlier. Jerusalem's going to be decimated. It's going to be ruins. He's a cynic. He's the most unrealistic person in the world at that point. He's saying, this stuff's going to go bad and everything's going to fall apart. But in the days to come, it's going to be like this. So is Micah a cynic or is he hopeful? Here's another game we can play, true or false. I like this one. True or false, the Bible says that we shall beat our swords into plowshares. True. And our spears into pruning hooks. True or false? True. True or false? The Bible says we will beat our plowshares into swords. Somebody paid attention in Bible study on Thursday. And the Bible also says we will beat our pruning hooks into spears. Yeah. Can both be true? See, what happened is, I already said, so this is a famous poem because it's quoted by both Isaiah and Micah. Maybe one of them quoted the other, but maybe there was a third source out there and they both quoted it, right? Either way, this is just a very common image in the sort of collective consciousness of the Hebrew people about plowshares and swords. But then Joel, another prophet, takes it and flips it on its side. And he decides to change it from, we're going to beat swords into plowshares. And he says, we're going to prepare for war. Let's beat our plowshares into swords. Let's take our farm equipment and make it military equipment, right, instead of the other way around. Why do we do that? Why is Micah cynical in one verse and optimistic and hopeful in the next? Why can we open the Bible in one place and say prepare for war and then in two other places say prepare for peace? Thank you. Because it's real. And one thing I like to say, and I think is true, is that truth is messy, right? I think there are places where you can go. You could probably be sitting in a church a lot bigger than this today, full of a lot more people, and and be told that the truth is simple, and it's black and white. And the Bible says this, right? But I'm not that preacher, and this isn't that church, and that's why there's only 35 of us here today. Because that's a little more challenging what we're talking about here today, I think. That's my judgmentalism coming out. But the truth is messy because the truth involves both and. Right? The truth of this book right here, this Bible, these ancient texts, is that there is a time, and this now we're going to go back to Ecclesiastes, there's a time to be hopeful, and there's a time to be cynical. There's a time to prepare for war, and there's a time to prepare for peace. There's a time for this, and there's a time for that. And what our faith does is it has us hold both of those. And Jesus did this too. He taught this way. He said, you have heard it said this, but I say that. So it's very challenging. And his parables, that he preached in parables, and it had people scratching their heads like, how can that be? How is it that the first are last and the last are first? This math doesn't compute in my small mind. And that's the point. Jesus wants us out of our small mind into the big mind. He wants us to rise up to the mountain of God. He wants us to leave the base, banal nature of the pit that we sometimes live in and arise to the better angels of our nature. He expects that of us. And so he's in this long lineage of prophets who teach this way, who hold both and challenge us to lift our heads, to look around, and to see the world as it really is, and then have the courage to hope, to walk in the way of the God. And as our closing hymn is going to say, is another way of quoting this same verse, study war no more. This verse, Micah adds a verse to the poem that's not in Isaiah when he says, and everyone will sit beneath their vine and their fig tree. I used to sing this song as a kid. Did any of you? It was a camp song. And every man neath his vine and fig tree shall live in peace and unafraid. Anybody know that? I'm seeing nothing. Really? I guess I went to a different church camp. And everyone neath their vine and fig tree will live in peace and unafraid. And we will study war no more. I thought about this story. This is a real story. It sounds like something you'd read in Reader's Digest. It sounds so cute and quaint. But this really happened to me. I remember just like it was yesterday. I was in the parsonage of the small church that I served in Kansas. I was a young pastor. My son was about 2 or 3 years. Ben was about 3 years old. It would have been the time of a desert storm. So that was 90, 91. Anybody got it more accurate than that? Anyway, so he's 3 years old. And I had the news on. I was really concerned about this. In my lifetime, we really had never been a nation at war. I guess I lived a little bit during the Vietnam War, but I was too young to remember it. And so this is the first time I'm seeing war on TV in my lifetime. And my son, who's 3 years old, heard the word war, and he looked at me and he said, Dad, what's war? Can you believe that? Of course you can. You're like, because you've all probably had that moment too. When is it that with our children look at us and say, what is war? And I had to answer that question, right? I had to teach him what is war. I could just have him look at the TV. Probably not a good idea. What is war? So Isaiah and Micah both imagine a day when we will study war no more. Now imagine a day when our kids don't look up at us after seeing the TV and saying, what is war? Imagine us not having to answer that question because it's just a non-issue. I don't know if that day is ever going to get here. Someday, Micah says, in the days to come, it will be that way. We won't have to worry about these things. We won't be building bombs and implements of war. We'll only be worrying about how to grow our food and more importantly, how to harvest it. There's going to be so much of it. The main issue is going to be how do we collect it all, right? We need more plowshares. We need more pruning hooks. That is a hopeful vision. And what makes it realistic for us to be that hopeful is that it only makes sense to be hopeful when it doesn't make sense to be hopeful, right? Wow. That's a bold thing. That we stand in a bold place, and that's what we have to offer the world, I think. And on those days when I'm feeling depressed, like, why are we here? This is why I'm here today. Because we have something the world needs in this vision of how to be human in the world with the grace of God in and through.